Let's recover then a little bit more. We want to finish up today, and hopefully there'll be a few minutes left. Hopefully there'll be a few minutes left for some Q&A at the end. We've been talking about the essence of biblical femininity. We've been working off of this definition. It is a freeing disposition to affirm, receive, nurture, strengthen, and leadership from worthy men in ways appropriate to a woman's differing relationships. We talked about the idea of biblical femininity in connection to the definition of men. It is similar in the idea of sense of that we talked about as it relates to biblical masculinity. We continued with the idea of how it frees a woman. We then talked last time about this idea to affirm, receive, nurture, and strengthen leadership. And then the rest of the definition follows on that. And then we went to this statement, from worthy men, and then in ways appropriate to women's different relationships. I want to back up there just a minute to this particular one and talk about this just a little bit more. And I want to ask you to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would, this morning, and let's look at that text together. If we could. First Peter 3, this is one of the many texts which was pointed out to us previously, has communication about gender roles. Wives, Peter instructs wives in verse 1, he continues the communication that direction. Then he gets to husbands in verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. I want to talk about that phrase, weaker vessel, just a little bit more and try to give some understanding to that. Let me make a negative statement first. It is not right, it's not biblical thinking to put a negative value on what are called weaknesses within each gender. When we see this phrase in the text, weaker vessel, we should not apply to that a negative value. We ended the time with this idea last week. Remember what we are. We are complementarians. In other words, where we recognize a weakness, we should also recognize in the other gender a corresponding what? A corresponding strength. The weakness in the one calls out the strength in the other. It is not a design flaw. It is a design feature. So, while Peter tells us that women are weaker, he is not implying that in some way they are deficient. What he is pointing out is, when her weakness is on display, what also should be on display is his corresponding strength. The corollary is also true of that. It is implied throughout the scripture, though it is not verbalized in this text, where that male has gender weaknesses. He calls out in her corresponding strengths. Like being a maker at home. Are men naturally given to being makers at home? I mean, every now and then we do something right. Every now and then. But as a general observation, we're not nurturers generally. when our babies were crying in the middle of the night, we were more likely to say, no child, this is me, Mike Burway quote, I actually said this. We are more likely to say, no child ever died from crying. Let the child cry. Now, Brenda would never say that, right? Child is crying. Brenda would never tap me on the shoulder and say to me, grab me as I was getting out of the bed, hey, no child ever died of crying. Don't go up there. She would never say that. Because she is more naturally given to that. God created that in her. Whereas I am more naturally given to staying in bed, where she is not. Does that make sense to you? So I want to make sure that when we consider the idea of weakness, that we are not applying value to that. But what we're noting is design features which call out in the other person strengths which God has given. Does that make sense to you? As that goes on, what we understand then is this, that those will be displayed in ways appropriate to a woman's differing relationships. So, let's think about this. Biblical femininity does not express itself in the same way toward every man or every relationship. How a woman engages in her femininity toward her dad, or her brother, or her grandfather, or her son, or her husband will be different than how she displays her biblical femininity toward the rest of the body, or how she displays her biblical femininity to those who are outside of the community of faith. Biblical femininity does not express itself in the same way toward every man or every relationship. So a woman who is married, for example, will not welcome the same kind of strength and leadership from a man who is not her husband like she does from her husband. She is going to welcome it in a different kind of way. Within the church setting, women in the church should properly acknowledge the authority that God has given for the exercise of the good of other people within the office of the pastors, elders. Women should recognize that. But they probably won't apply that same kind of authority to every male in the body of believers. Does that make sense to you? So biblical femininity does not express itself in the same way toward every man or every relationship. So what we say in the definition is, in ways appropriate to a woman's differing relationships. So I want us to think about this. Here's what this means, though. A biblical woman every woman who is biblical in her thinking should seek to affirm and nurture the man's God-given role and nature as a servant leader in some appropriate form in all her relationships with men. That a man is not your husband, your brother, your son, your grandfather, your husband, your pastor, a Christian brother in Christ, does not then exclude you from demonstrating biblical femininity by affirming and nurturing in that man his role as a servant leader. In some appropriate form, some way, in all the relationships in which God has placed you as a woman, you should seek to display biblical femininity. And I believe that's true even if you find yourself in roles within the culture or within the church that put some men in subordinate role to you. Because that happens on a regular basis, both within the church and without. And you can still have a very strong complementarian position. Let me give you some examples. We've talked about one this morning, a political leader and her staff. She still can affirm and nurture God's given role for men as a servant leader, even though they are in position within the structure subordinate to her. What about a school principal and the teachers who serve in that organization? What about a female police officer? I had occasion to interact with a female police officer recently. What about a female police officer and the males in her jurisdiction? My mom, for a long, 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 long time, was the Sunday school superintendent of the K-4 Sunday school at the church where I grew up. Very large church, so we didn't divide by beginners and primaries and juniors. We had to divide by individual grade groups, so first grade, second grade, third. My mom was the Sunday school superintendent for the K-4 Sunday school for years, 25 years maybe. And over that time, she had a number of men who served as teachers in the K-4 Sunday school. So in her role as supervisor in that, they were subordinate to her. And what I'm saying is, even within the church setting, what a woman's understanding of biblical femininity is, now I am going to affirm and nurture in this man his role given to him by God as a servant leader. Now, you're going to have to work out in your mind how that's going to play out. What I'm saying to you is those roles in and of themselves, that being a supervisor of that K-4 is not an unbiblical position to have. It is an unbiblical position to say, I don't have to be feminine in this role. That's an unbiblical position. He doesn't have to be masculine in this role. That would be an unbiblical position. Those have to be worked out. Following me? Now, here's part of the problem with that. While we have a significant amount of scripture which tells us gender roles, we do not have a whole lot of scriptures which tell us, here is how this plays out in this particular situation. Does that make sense to you? So we really don't have a portion of the pastoral epistles which say, now listen, when you get into the Sunday school situation, we don't have that. So what do we do then? What we do then is we identify those really clear texts of Scripture and make sure that we are really, really right on target in understanding what that text means and how it should be applied. The ones that are crystal clear, we're right on top of it. Where we see something that we say, boy, I'm not sure, I can't quite put my finger on it, but it doesn't quite sit well with me. We are careful to allow for Christian liberty in that. So you may have in your own position, well, I just don't think a woman should be the K-4 Sunday school superintendent. Okay. But understand, the scriptures are sparse on that. And we're going to have to be charitable in how we approach that subject. Does that make sense to you? In my in my years singing in choral groups, there have been times when I have had a female choral director, and sometimes I felt in my spirit something rise up in that. I'm not sure it was biblical masculinity that was asserting itself. I can't say that for certain. And I had to learn to be charitable in that. Though my own personal preference probably would be in that situation to have a man leading. Does that make sense to you? So all of these have to be worked out in a woman's differing kind of relationship. What I do know is this, that a woman who is a K-4 Sunday school superintendent can, by her demeanor, by her tone, by her style in interacting with those, by how she carries herself, that she doesn't flaunt her ranking position, in all of those things, whether in the secular world or in the ministry world, she can affirm the role that men should play in relationship to women and the responsibility that they have to protect, to provide, to lead. It gets complicated, but that's okay. Let me finish up with one thought. We're going to come back toward the end, the very last thing that we do. You may remember when I pulled out this outline early on. The very last thing we're going to do is talk about biblical manhood and womanhood in the culture. It'll be the very last lesson that we look at this morning. So I want to answer a couple of questions, and with that, I'm going to bring this recorded session to a close. So I left those back there if you want to.